You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following Lutheran Hour sermon was delivered by the Reverend Wallace Schultz. Its title is Refuse to Look Back, Move Ahead with Total Confidence. And now here is Reverend Schultz.
The judgment of the Almighty God was sudden, and the judgment was thorough, and it was very, very severe. The Bible states that fire and brimstone rained down literally upon the sin-filled cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. God overthrew the cities, and the Bible tells us that the citizens of these cities of sodomy and every conceivable immorality had repeatedly defied God. They thumbed their noses at his warnings. They refused his mercy. Again and again they rejected his grace, and instead of repenting and living a life of decency, these people became even more obstinate, utterly worldly, and brazenly immoral. From the clear and straightforward record of the Bible, we know one thing for sure. The cities of Sodom and Gomorrah definitely deserve the judgment they received. In his grace, however, God offered to save, out of this filthy cesspool of sin, Abraham's nephew named Lot. In this gesture of grace, Lot and his family experienced the indescribable and undeserved mercy of God. Just before the terrible judgment of fire and brimstone was unleashed, God sent his angels to Lot and said, "Get your family out of this place." This urgent message was then relayed by Lot to his sons-in-law, who were soon to marry Lot's daughters. Lot said, "Get up. Get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city." But the Bible explains that the sons-in-law thought that Lot was only joking. Now, of course, time was rapidly running out. God's righteous wrath had reached the boiling point of severe judgment. At that late hour, God's angels of mercy then turned to Lot and said, "You, yes, you, get up. Take your wife and your two daughters and get out of here, lest you also be swept away in the punishment of the city." But then the Bible explains, Lot hesitated. So the scriptures tell us that the angels seized Lot's hand and the hand of his wife and the hands of his daughters. The compassion of the Lord was upon Lot. The angels then quickly brought Lot out and put him outside the city. Then the Lord said, "Go, yes, go, Lot, escape to the mountains and do not look back. For if you look back, you also will be destroyed." And now let me read the surprising and sobering ending as the Bible describes it. From the book of Genesis, now I am quoting directly, we read, "The Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire, out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the valley, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and even, yes, even what grew on the ground." Lot's wife, however, made a fatal mistake. Instead of obeying God's warning and not looking back, this woman disobeyed, and she looked back. This woman looked back towards Sodom and Gomorrah, and she instantly became a pillar of salt. Now, this shocking event of history, God's judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah, is surely a sobering story for all of us. We are reminded that God hates sin. Even today, God is not going to wink at all of the immorality that is going on. But we are also reminded that God extends his grace again and again unto us, even as we often fail. And so, as we look toward the year of 1992, God is asking, yes, he is urging you and me to turn our backs permanently upon all the lusts and temptations of this world. God is calling you and me to flee to the future. He is asking you and me to consider a life of hope and forgiveness, made possible by his grace and his mercy. God is asking us to look ahead and to never look back again at those sins and lusts that have so often tempted and entangled us. And so as you look at your past life and as you realize that you have stumbled and failed frequently, especially during these past 12 months, and that you have not been the person that God has expected you to be, this honest evaluation can become extremely discouraging, even filled with despair. Nevertheless, my friend, don't let these initial feelings destroy your future. You can be rescued. Oh, yes, you are not beyond hope. There is hope for you in 1992. The Apostle Peter, in his second epistle, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes, God reduced the entire cities of Sodom and Gomorrah unto ashes, and yet he saved Lot. Therefore, the Bible explains that you today also, you today can be absolutely certain that the Lord knows how to rescue a good man surrounded by temptation. Now, these words of the Apostle Peter may trouble you a little bit. You realize, of course, that you are not all that good. Nobody is. And so then, why does the Bible say that God rescues good men? Well, this is why it is so important for you and me to understand the example of the changed life of Abraham, the Old Testament patriarch. You see, Abraham was also a sinner like you and like me. Abraham failed often. Abraham did not even have the strength, nor the power, nor the ability to lead a life that would please God. On his own, Abraham was an utter failure, destined for hell. Nevertheless, the scriptures tell us that Abraham finally gave up on all of his hopes to save himself by his own religion. Abraham simply trusted in the mercy of God, and then by the grace of God, this God-given faith was reckoned. Yes, this God-given faith was counted unto Abraham as righteousness. So then, neither Abraham nor Lot was righteous as a result of something that they themselves did. Rather, they were declared righteous by a gracious God simply on the basis of faith, a faith which God also provided. This blessed miracle is also explained by the Apostle Paul when he writes, God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And so then, as you look ahead to 1992, and as you honestly evaluate the situation before you, you also know that your spiritual condition is not all that good, and that you, at this late hour, are in desperate need of God's salvation. You need God's grace in Christ to be saved from the sins and temptations of this world, and you also need to be saved from your constant stumbling back into sin. This rescue will not be achieved, the Bible explains, through your efforts of self-improvement or religiosity. Because you see, my friend, if you are to be saved, yes, if you are to be saved for a new life and a new hope in 1992, it will be purely by the grace and the mercy of God. And so then, as we examine our text from the Bible, and as we consider God's righteous judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah, we may say, oh yes, this example of the terrible judgment of God unleashed upon the sin-filled cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, this is a good example for many people today. Not necessarily for me, but for a lot of other people. People who are hooked on the alcohol bottle, they should listen to this. Or those who are guilty of sexual sins, yes, they should take note of this. Or those who are now on drugs, or those who are stealing. Oh, my friends, God's judgment does indeed speak to these sins, but his judgment speaks also to those of us who sin when we in any way contribute to the disharmony in our families or our marriage. God's wrath rages against husbands who do not treat their wives with gentleness, with love and respect. God's righteous anger rages against husbands who say with their lips that they love their wives, but who put forth very little or no effort to help their wives in raising the children or keeping the house. Husbands, don't be fooled. No, don't be fooled. God is never mocked. For if you refuse to love and support the wife that you took in marriage, then a judgment as bad or perhaps even worse than Sodom and Gomorrah may eventually befall you.
And so let's remember God's anger towards sin, not only in marriage, but also regarding the problems that we may be causing in the workplace, or the constant trouble we may be causing in school. And, of course, you wives also, as you in your hearts desire a new and better life in 92, follow the example of Lot and his daughters. Turn your back forever on your sinful bad habits. Don't look back. Don't be constantly tempted by the glitter of a shopping mall. You can get along very well without most of the things of this world. Build your future instead by looking ahead and by trusting in the grace of God. Treat your children with love and respect, and don't get so blinded by the new liberation movements which promote sinful meism, so that you can no longer receive the special joy that God reserves and graciously gives to loving and supporting husbands and wives. And so, my friends, this is 1992. It is a chance for a new beginning for you. So look up and look ahead. Decisively and forever, cut all the ties of your sinful past and don't look back anymore. Don't let the devil lead you into the mind-depressing and even soul-destroying lime pits of lewd and licentious living. Instead, do the better thing. Lift up your eyes and look unto Jesus. There is a great future in the Savior for you. Trust completely and confidently in the undeserved grace and mercy that God is extending toward you at this hour. Begin today to build a new life and a new future, and build it all upon the solid and life-giving death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul reminds us that Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross of Calvary for our transgressions, or for our sins. And then Jesus was raised again for our justification, or for our salvation. It was in the crucifixion of Jesus, that terrible cross event, that laid the foundation for your new life in 1992. When Jesus died on the cross, he cried out, "It is finished." And at that decisive moment, Jesus Christ burst the grip of the devil. So now launch out in hope in 1992. Launch out with courage and conviction. And with the same Spirit-inspired confidence used by Lot and his family members as they turned their heads the other way and as they defiantly deserted their past lives in the sinful cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and with the same courage with which they went on to a new place and a new life. So then we today are also asking, yea, we are encouraging you to do the very same thing. Cut all your strings and attachments that you have with this world. Get a new and a positive and an uplifting start for the new year. Do this by permitting the Spirit of God to establish a new attitude in your heart and a new confidence in your soul. The foundation for this new life for you in 1992 and the basis upon which you need to build is the cruel crucifixion, the terrible suffering, and the victorious resurrection of the Savior. When Jesus Christ was put to death on the bloody altar of Calvary's cruel cross, his innocent death paid the price for all of your sins, all of your failures, and all of your past mistakes. And so the prophet Isaiah tells us that when Jesus offered up his own innocent body and blood, God the Father accepted this sacrifice as a full and complete payment for all of your sins. Through Jesus' voluntary and bloody and pain-filled death, God's righteous wrath, Isaiah explains, was then satisfied. So, my friend, in 1992, believe in this good news of what God has done for you. The good news of the gospel is not some good advice that God is giving you. The gospel is the good news about what Jesus Christ has done for you. The gospel, my friend, is no invitation for you to do anything. The gospel is a simple, powerful, and public declaration of what God has already completed for you in the gospel. The gospel for you in 1992 is not a demand, it is an offer. The gospel brings hope. The gospel brings new life. And so, my friend, on the basis and on the authority of God's holy gospel, we say to you today, your sins have all been paid for. This is the good news for you in 1992. You may not drive the latest model car. Your house may be, at best, even a shack. And your health may, at this moment, be disintegrating. But have no fear and entertain no worries. Your sins have been paid for, and through a simple faith in the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be headed directly for the mansions of heaven. And so, my friend, go for it. Yes, go for it. Remember Lot and his wife. Look up and look ahead. Don't look back anymore. For with an unburdened conscience, cleansed by the atoning blood of Christ, and with an eternal hope in your soul, in spite of the fact that you may not have much in this life, by the grace and mercy of God, 1992 should simply be the very best year of your entire life. We pray, O Lord, grant this promise and grant this mercy unto all who with a repentant heart are listening to your holy gospel and your offer of forgiveness at this hour. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message. The Lutheran Hour is a listener-supported ministry of the International Lutheran Layman's League.